All right, who remembers where we are? Oh, this is going to be an unusual morning. I can see it. I can see it. I can see it. We have been in Acts, and the Lord has been speaking to us so many things that it feels like we aren't really going through it very rapidly. But you know, as long as he's speaking, I don't want to tell him he can't. So we'll just go at the speed that works for him. So we have actually spent all summer and most of the fall so far working through Acts, and we are at 9. Acts chapter 9. So if you want to turn there with me. 9. Yes, sir. Acts chapter 9. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, which was what Christians were originally called, that way. Well, yeah, Jesus is the way. Okay, sorry. Born, oh goodness. Both men and women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly, God loves suddenly, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" he said. And he replied, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do." The men who traveled with him stood speechless. They had heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So Paul was blind. And leading him by the hand, they brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. All right. So here's what I propose. I'm proposing that Paul was spiritually blind before he was physically blind. I propose that he was blind to truth before he was physically blind. So when did we first see Saul? Well, remember it was last time, stoning of the deacon Stephen. It said Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. Now, I want you to think about what motivated Paul to act that way, and why I'm saying I think he was spiritually blind. Because was he doing it because he was just a mean person? He tells us in Galatians 1, what his motivation was. "You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how violently I persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the tradition of my ancestors." So he's telling us his motivation is his religious beliefs, maintaining his traditions. He thought that his zeal came from God. He actually thought that he was doing God's work, following God's will, because he was attacking this new type of believer. He felt that his religion, his traditions, and his lifestyle was being threatened. His religious traditions caused him to have a blind spot. So that's what we're talking about today, blind spots. And Pastor Van started his sermon last Sunday by mentioning blind spots. And so I forewarned all of you that that's what we were talking about today. He was actually working against God and not for God, but because of the blind spot, he could not see that truth. This was an area of deception. That's what a blind spot is, an area of deception. So think with me about where that term came from. So you're driving down the highway, Speed limit's 55. Most of you drive 70. So you're going 70. You look in your rearview mirror, and the closest car is three or four car lengths back. Okay? You look in your side mirror. Everything looks good in your side mirror. So you've decided that now is the time that you want to move forward on your journey. So what do? You put a turn signal on, you start to pull over, and you hear, "Brrr!" And you're like, what was that? And so you steer back over, and if you're me, okay, so one of my kids is still here. They know me. I go, "Oh, my God!" And I grab my heart like I'm having a heart attack. You know, they all laugh. They just think that's hysterical. And I do that when I'm watching tense movies. That's why I can't watch tense movies. I just get so worked up. Yeah. Stop it. Pick. Okay. So that's called a blind spot. And that means that you did the best you could, Pastor Kurt, to check everything out. I mean, you're looking in this mirror. You didn't just turn in traffic. You looked in this mirror, saw behind you. You looked in the side mirror, saw over there. But you could not see that thing that was in a blind spot. So that means when we have blind spots, and I'm going to get real daring here. I think we all have blind spots. Okay. Someone has to help us see that blind spot. Now, I've already been in situations like Stacy and I went over 4 years ago for our 35th anniversary and went over to England and Scotland, and I rented this car, and you mentally know it's going to be this way, but you get in the opposite side of the car. And so now I'm sitting here, and Stacy's there, and we go to pull out, and she goes, "You do know that you also have to cross now and drive on the opposite side of the street, because you would normally just pull out and, okay, right?" So there are times when I've said to Stacy, "Would you look and make sure there's nobody beside me?" And what's really not fun over there is they don't have four-way stops or two-way stops. They have roundabouts. Well, they all know how to do this, but I'm driving the wrong side of the street with the steering wheel on the opposite side of the car, and I'm looking this way to see traffic, and I should be looking that way to see traffic because I've driven since I've been 15 years old. And, you know, just subtract my age now, so that's a lot of years to be looking that way. So I'm saying, "Stacy, is there anybody over there so that I can?" And a couple times I went around about three times. Because every time I get to where I thought it was my turn and my GPS was saying, turn now, I'm like, "Yeah, there's five cars over there. I can't turn now." So we'd go around again. I'd get just ready to get over. Someone would come into the roundabout going 70 and vroom, and then we'd go around the circle again. So we need people to help us see blind spots. That's why they're called. Romans 12 said, "Let God transform you into a new person." We all want that. Okay? By what? Listen what it says. By changing the way you think. What? I like the way I think. It took me 65 years to get to where I think and how I think and what I think. And how dare you tell me that what I think is not what I should think? Right? But if I have a blind spot and God wants to transform me by changing the way I think, then I have to allow him to do that. It says, then, after he changes the way we think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, that which is good and pleasing and perfect. Well, is that or is that not our goal? Pastor Kurt, is that our goal? Pastor Adam, is that our goal? So then we have to allow him to change the way we think. So Stacy and I have to watch it through an app on my phone, which technology is amazing. I mean, who thought Jack and Nancy back when we were little we'd be doing what we do now. So I get my phone out, I open an app, I click on the chosen, I tell it to send it to my Roku picks it up and sends it to my TV while it's playing on my phone sitting beside me, and we're watching The Chosen. So, because we don't have cable, so we have to get everything through the internet. And so we started watching the first couple episodes. The Chosen is a series about the life of Jesus. Oh my goodness, Steve, I get choked up way too easy. So, you know, you read in the Word. So this is facts. This is truth and this is facts. But you don't get the feeling behind it. You don't get the life behind it. And, of course, this is a fictional show because we don't have all these details between the verses. The show takes the verses and gives you an idea of what could be happening between them. And so you get to like the blind person, the lame person, the Mary Magdalene. You see how she ended up the way she did. And, of course, we don't know that it happened exactly that way, but something similar happened to these people. And you see the lame man's family don't know what to do with him, and he's been laying there for years and years and years, and you feel really bad. You connect with these people. And then Jesus comes to the town. And you start to get excited because you know the fact of what's coming. And you see Jesus getting closer and closer to this lame person or blind person or Mary Magdalene. And you know that when Jesus does what he's getting ready to do, everything in their life changes. I cried through the first five. We're on the second season now, so I'm not crying quite as much. But I'm like, I knew Jesus was that way, and I knew it says he was moved by compassion. But until you actually see him moved by compassion and touch these people, it's just amazing. So the other thing I saw, though, is the religious people did not like him at all. And now I know why. Because he came for people. He did not come for rules. He did not come for regulations. So he didn't care about their traditions and their regulations. He just blew right through them. If he came across somebody and you were hurting and it was a Saturday, which was their Sunday, their Sabbath, he healed you anyway. And the religious people were like, you can't do that. And he said, wait a minute. Who did God create the Sabbath for? He created it for our benefit. And if it's benefiting you for me to heal you on the Sabbath, I'm going to do it. But it helped me understand why the religious leaders were so opposed to him, because the kingdom of God is drastically different than religion. It's drastically different than politics. And that's all they knew. They were the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees. They were the ruling religious leaders. And then Jesus shows up. And the kingdom of God is also drastically different from the way you and I normally respond to people and treat people. And you say, I don't think so. Well, that's what we're going to look at today. That's why this might be some blind spots. So we're going to look at three. Okay, I'm doing my good Elam Fellowship taught three-point message, even though you've already gotten about 6 points, but I'm only going to point out three of those points. So, three Jesus truths, three kingdom truths. And hopefully we're going to say, God, in these truths, is there anywhere that I have a blind spot that you want to shine light on? Okay? So you have to be a little daring here. Because just like the blind man, we have to want to see. Like the blind man said, is Jesus coming to town? It seems like a big ruckus, and I heard that he might be coming. And they said, yes. Well, he could have said, oh, okay. Well, I'll just see if anything happens, if Jesus does anything. But what did he do? Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. And he wasn't sure Jesus could hear him through the crowd. So what did he do? Yeah. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. And Jesus had mercy on him. So we have to want to have the blind spots removed. If not, we'll just keep them. That's your choice. You can do that, right? Okay. You said you could do that. I heard you. All right. So we're going to look at three Jesus truth adventures. And these are all from Matthew. You don't have to turn unless you want to. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or drink or for your body or what you will put on, because is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. And it's actually chapter 6. That's why I couldn't find it in chapter 5. They do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? And which of you, being worried, can add a single moment to your life? So, can you, by worrying, add a moment to your life? You know what I found? Is that by worrying, not only don't you add to your life, but now you can enjoy today. You're worried about what if something happens tomorrow, next week, a year from now. So you're over here somewhere worrying. Today is over there, and you've now not enjoyed today because you allowed your mind to go there and worry. So don't worry. Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. See? That's what we're anxious about, because each day has enough trouble of its own. It said, don't worry about food and clothing, things like what will I drink, shelter. Well, how do we usually act about those things? Let's try to be truthful. Let's try to look at a blind spot. How do we act about those things? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to buy groceries? And isn't going to the grocery store just a wonderful adventure now? Stephanie had to go three places yesterday to get all of her groceries, because this store had some, that store had some, and that store had some. And then, of course, things that used to be $10, $12 are now $20. So if you want to have something to worry about, we can always find something, can't we? So how do we normally act about it? And do we ever get anxious or worried? So what might the blind spot be? Well, Jesus told us what the blind spot would be. It means that our faith in God is less than we thought it was. Oh, I don't like that, Pastor Steve. That's not very nice. You're telling me my faith is not what I thought it was. Well, that means I have to admit that my faith isn't what I thought it was. Because Jesus said that if you trusted him, because he takes care of the flowers and the birds, and he's going to take care of us, that we would not get worried or anxious. So I'm just proposing, could that be a blind spot? That maybe our faith in him isn't what we thought it was. Because what's the truth? He knows, he cares, and he promised to provide. We sang that. I don't know about you, but I have real trouble singing some of these songs because I think when they're coming out of my mouth, do I really believe that? Waymaker, promise keeper, miracle worker. Well, it says he is. But that's not what I'm singing. I'm singing that I believe he is. Think we might have some blind spots, folks? I warned you that this was another one of these challenges. And if he's challenging us, he wants to call us forward. And so I think he's saying, hey, are you willing to increase your faith and trust in me? And not worry as much. Okay, that's a really good question. Thank you, Pastor Steve. All right, so Matthew 5. Now we're in Matthew 5, and now I actually have the verses because I don't have them all written out in my notes. Matthew 5:38. Second, Jesus' truth that might just reveal a blind spot. Matthew 5:38. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Okay. So now remember, this is Jesus, and he's talking to the Jews, and they had the law. Okay? They had two-thirds of the Bible. And in there were all kinds of rules and regulations. And Jesus is saying, you heard this. Okay? It's written in here. You heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, what? Is it written in here or not? Well, it's written in here, but Jesus is saying, this is the intent. This is what I want you to understand about an eye for an eye, for a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other one to him also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, give him your coat too. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go 2. Give to him who asks. Do not turn away from him who wants to borrow. You have heard it say, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, who's talking? I want to ask again, who's talking? But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Turn your cheek. Yeah, that's what I want to do. Somebody just walked up and slapped me across the face, and I'm going, oh, 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 I think I lost a tooth. Well, hey, buddy, you want to slap my other side? There you go. Who does that? But who just told us to do that? Come on. Someone sues you because they didn't like something you did, or you looked at them funny, or a leaf blew over into their yard, who knows? They sue you for something and take your shirt, and you say, you know, if you really needed my shirt that badly, maybe you should have my coat too, and I'll go out and try to buy myself. I'll trust God, who told me not to worry. I'll go out and buy myself another shirt and coat. Wow! Would I do that? But who just told me to do that? If you're made to carry someone else's burden, volunteer to carry it longer and further. That was the translation I had at home. Now, do you know what that's talking about, if you hadn't heard that story? They were occupied by an enemy. An enemy came in, defeated them, took over their nation, and the soldiers were stationed there to keep them in control. And if one of the soldiers had a heavy backpack and you were walking along a road and they saw you, they could say, hey, civilian, hey, Jew, take my pack and carry it a mile. They were allowed to force you to carry it a mile. So you were on your way to somewhere and you're now carrying this heavy pack. And Jesus is saying, you turned to the soldier and said, hey, I'm gone that way anyway. I'll carry it another mile for you because I know you have to carry it the rest of the day. Huh? Huh? Come on. Who said to do this? Oh, you got much quieter. You were like, Jesus, Jesus. And then it's become Jesus. Love your enemies. Wait a minute. You know what? That's, something's wrong with that translation, Trish. Does it say the same thing in your Bible? Kurt, does it say the same thing there, Pastor Kurt? Yeah, anybody else? Sharon, does your Bible say that? Come on, every translation? I was going to try to blame it on the translation. Shocks. So love your enemies. Oh my goodness. See, Jesus said, it's written in here, love your neighbor. Most of us are still working on love your neighbor, let's be honest. Come on. Love the person you work with. Love the person who runs you off the road. Love the person who's rude at the grocery store. Love your neighbor. Okay, they're not in the enemy category. And then Jesus says, but guess what? Not just love your neighbor, love your enemy. That means somebody that's somebody who, what? Hates you, or you hate them. That's the definition of an enemy. Did I make that up, Stan, or does that sound like the definition of an enemy? Love. Love. Not just bear with, try to not kill. Come on, I'm trying to be honest today. Okay? Love your enemy and pray for them. Pray for them. You know what? I think Jesus found a blind spot. Yep, he did. Because that's not the way we normally would respond. So in Luke 6, Jesus even makes this clear. It's like, Jesus, I'm having trouble with what you already said. Do you really have to make it clear? But the same set of verses in a parallel gospel. I, Jesus, say to you who hear. Do you know why he had to say that? Because he realized as soon as he started talking on this subject, we all went, I don't want to hear that. Blind spot. Blind spot. Blind spot. I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Wow. I was struggling with what he said in Matthew. Can I go back to Matthew? In this way, now listen, folks. In this way, you will show yourself to be children of the Most High God. Are we? Are we? Mike, are we children of the Most High God? Come on. Are you serious? We're his children. Okay. You will show yourself. How will we show ourselves? How will we show ourselves that we are his children? Loving your enemies, doing good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and praying for those who mistreat you. Because he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil people. Show mercy even as your Father shows mercy, and do not condemn. Okay. Who's going to print that out and put it on their fridge for this week? Have it become your favorite verse. Yeah, okay. Blind spot. So the first blind spot we looked at is don't worry. That's a blind spot. Have faith in God instead. Second blind spot, don't hate. Choose mercy and love instead. Okay. I don't know. Can we take one more? No. Trash! Kurt, give her a kiss. Then she can take another one. Okay. What did you guys do this morning? We heard truth and watched Pastor Kurt and Trish kiss. Okay. Last Jesus truth today. See, church can be fun, right? Okay. We're back in Matthew 5, verse 21 this time. Just a second. My allergies. You know, temperature goes up, temperature goes down. And then it rains for 3 days. Okay. So, verse 21. You have heard that the ancients were told. Doing it again. He's saying, I know you know this is in here, but now I'm going to tell you what this really means. Like, okay. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. And whoever commits murder is guilty in the courts. You ready? No. Right, Trish? Oh, okay. But I was going to say, you probably don't want me to go on. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother is guilty. What? Now, it just said murder. Now, how did murder change to angry? You shall not commit murder, and anyone who commits murder is guilty in the courts. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother is guilty before the courts. Huh? And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the courts. And whoever says, you fool, will be guilty enough to go to fiery hell. Huh? Huh? You know, I think this verse just showed up in here. Because I've been reading this Bible since I've been 17. And this verse must not have been in there all that time. Therefore, if you're presenting your offering at the altar, and remember that your brother has something against you, not just that you have something against them, but they have something against you, leave your offering before the altar and go and be reconciled to your brother. Wow. So if you're angry, you're guilty. And that word there means ensnared by your own anger. Wow. Okay, so if you're guilty with somebody, I mean, if you're angry with someone, you're ensnared by your own anger. If you yell, you idiot, you will receive the penalty. And if you say, you stupid moron, which is what that word means, it actually was in the Greek, like M-O-R-O, you're guilty enough to go to fiery hell. Jesus said that. Jesus did. So, you know what we say, right? You say, you made me this angry. Now, those of you that have made it out to the Men and Ladies Study Fellowship Group, we learned something. We learned something. We learned something from Danny Silk, didn't we? Danny Silk told us that nobody can make you anything. You decide to make yourself something. So if I say something you don't like, I'm not making you angry or mad. You're choosing to be angry or mad. Whoa! Mind blown. He's telling us that we all have a choice. Okay. Yeah, we say things like, it's your fault that I'm acting this way. Okay. So are we hearing and understanding what Jesus is saying here? We justify ourselves by saying things like, I've never murdered. So I had this written. I do my sermons usually. I start them on Wednesday. This I actually started 2 weeks ago. But I work on them on Wednesday, and then I work on them some more on Friday, and then if I haven't finished them up on Saturday. But I had it finished, and then I went to the men's breakfast yesterday, and the speaker gets up and says, we justify ourselves by saying, well, I've never murdered. I'm like, yeah, I think I have that exact sentence written down. We justify ourselves by saying, I've never murdered. But what Jesus is saying is, relationships are so important to me, and relationships need to be so important to you as my children, that you will be as concerned about being angry or offensive to one another as you are about murdering. Blind spot. I mean, I might not have been nice, but I didn't actually kill the person. Well, what did your words do? When you called him, you stupid idiot, or you moron. If you call each other names, if you accuse one another, he said, you are actually guilty, and it's you who are wrong. Well, I don't like that. And that word there that I was explaining to you, ensnared by your anger, means that you're allowing yourself to be entangled by your emotions. So I thought about that. Yeah, I do. I do. My emotions get worked up, and I say stuff. Then I feel a little better. Yeah, I hear you. See, we say that. We say that. So, you know, that's a very good point, because then what that must mean is he'd rather I tell him about it and get it straightened out with him. Who remembers Pastor Karen? And I just sent her a text to let her know Marty was in the hospital yesterday. Who used to say, go to your room and get the victory. That means you take your fired up emotions, you go to your room, and you handle it between you and God. Then you come back out, and then we'll talk about it. That's what she used to say. Because we allow our emotions to get us all worked up. And he said, you are choosing to treat others in a way that does not represent me or my kingdom. So I thought, okay. I think that one hit me pretty hard, because I keep saying, Jesus, I want to represent your kingdom. I want to represent you. When people see me, I want them to see you. So what did he just say? When you're nasty, when you call people things, they don't see Jesus. Oh. Guess I forgot about that for a moment. So we all have blind spots. We all have made decisions and said things that displease God. Come on, can we be truthful? We've made decisions and said things that displease God. So we're going to end with going back to Paul. Did he stay physically blind? No. Did he stay spiritually blind? Did he stay blind in how he treated others? No. Think about what came out of him being blind and having to seek God and allowing God to change him. Saul became Apostle Paul by allowing God to heal him. He became Apostle Paul who established and upheld churches. He became Apostle Paul by repenting and turning away from his blind spots, his wrong ways of thinking. Because think what he did. He became the apostle that went to the pagans that nobody wanted to have anything to do with, and who the early Christians, come on, Christians did not want to have anything to do with. And Paul was the one who took these pagans, got them filled, got them saved, got them filled with the Holy Spirit, and then said, hey, church, God loves them as much as he does you. And aren't you glad he did that? Because that's us. Okay? We aren't Jewish believers. We're Gentile believers. And that's all because of Paul, who originally was spiritually blind, physically blind, relationship blind. Now, come on, what was he doing? He was attacking, originally, Jewish believers, his own countrymen. And he allowed God to change him so much, he now is going to pagans, which Jews weren't to have anything to do with, not associate with, not eat with. And he moved in with them and visited them and did all that stuff, ate with them. And then he says to the Jews, hey, God saved them and filled them with the Holy Spirit just like he did you. So that made me stop and ask the question, do I treat people like Jesus treated people? So what blind spots did this reveal? A lot, actually. More than I would have wanted to admit. So here's the question. If Paul would have stayed where he was with his blind spots, could he ever have even gotten close to fulfilling God's destiny for him? So that makes me ask a very serious question. If I hold on to my blind spots and don't want to give up up, if I don't want to allow the truth to get rid of those things and God to change me, how much am I not going to fulfill of his plans and purposes for me? Oh, ouch. Ooh. Yeah. So do we really want to hear truth? Do we really want to see clearly? Then I would say, just pray the simple prayer. Jesus, show me my blind spots and show me the truth that is going to clear them up. Because he has to show you, right? Because if you could do it yourself, they wouldn't be blind spots. And he might actually use others too. You know, he sometimes does that. Like the passenger in your car who's saying, you're getting a little worked up over that. Right? All right. So let's stand. We're not going to do that song. I think we're good. Thank you. I really feel like Holy Spirit has been talking to us because I've seen your faces, so I don't feel like we have to have a song and say, Holy Spirit, talk to us. The Word talked to us, and then the Holy Spirit talked to us. Well, Father, when we were praying about today and as we came in today, we came expecting to hear from you, and we heard from you. We were expecting to meet with you and encounter you through worship and through the Word. We met with you. And we encountered you. But when you come, you don't want to leave us the way that we were. You want to change us. You want us to look more and act more like your sons and daughters. Your word told us that you wanted us to treat people and react to situations the way you would so that people would say, oh, that's a child of God. I don't know that I've been doing that. I don't know that I've been doing as well at that as I thought I was. So, Holy Spirit, thank you for shining your light on some blind spots today. For giving me some things to pray about, for allowing me now to choose to say, Father, I want your word, your truth, to accomplish its purpose in me. I want that word to change me, to change how I think, because your word says that you want to transform us by changing how we think. So I want your word to go so deep within me and have such an influence and effect on me that I start thinking differently. That somewhere down the road, maybe toward the end of the year or beginning of next year, I will notice that I am now thinking differently than I did in the past. That I am now responding differently to situations and to people than I did in the past. That maybe, just maybe, I've taken a little more walk on the journey of becoming more like Jesus. So, Lord, thank you that you care enough about us that you brought truth to us today. That you care enough about us that you shone your light on some things in our lives today. Now it's our choice. Now it's our choice to decide if we want to see more clearly, if we no longer want to be blinded in some areas. Because God, when I started this Christian life, I said that I wanted to do what you wanted me to do, go where you wanted me to go, to accomplish what you wanted me to accomplish, and that I wanted to become more like you. I still feel that way. So God, whatever adjustment I need to make, however you want yet to change me, I give you permission. I give you permission. We love you, Lord. And even as we sang today, you've been so faithful. And we're believing you to continue to be faithful, to get Marlon out of the hospital, to get Marty out of the hospital, continue to heal Karen at home. Those that came today with physical needs, and we just pause and think of some of them. And we remember who it is that said, hey, pray for me about this or pray for me about that. We're asking the way maker where there seems to be no way. We're asking the miracle worker to do above and beyond what medicine can do. And the promise keeper to keep every promise made, to heal, restore, deliver, to give us abundant life and everlasting life, to come and do those things in us this week. And the family of God said, amen, amen. Amen.